Good evening, everybody. Here we are, last cheer of the year, Wednesday night cheer. Entitled this week, The Role of Sleep and Lack Thereof During the Yamim Noraim. So we'll learn this evening about the concept that the halacha will repeatedly kind of encourage us to not get all that much sleep this time of year, and there's a lot to learn from that inherently. It is now Wednesday night. The first, like, mega event on the calendar is going to be Erev Rosh Hashanah. Slichos get a lot longer, as we know. And although we started saying Slichos already this past Motzei Shabbos, that was only the beginning, at least for Ashkenazim. But the Slichos get a lot longer, in particular, on Friday morning, on Erev Rosh Hashanah. And the Midrash Vayikra Rabba, Parshas Emor, already says, in the name of the Tanaim over there, Rabbi Levi Amar. So he says, again, the Tanaim according to Rabbi Levi, that there was a king who imposed a tremendous tax. And there was a big problem. The tax was going to be collected, so the king started approaching the town. When the king got Eser Milin, say 10 miles close to the town, what happened? The Gedole HaMedina, the greatest members of the town, went up to try to appease the king. So what did the king do? He did away with one-third of the taxes. Okay, but he kept on walking closer and closer to the town. He got 5 miles away from the town. So the Benonim left the town to try to appease the king. And he said, okay, let me forgo a second third of the taxes. And when the king finally entered the town, all of the townspeople, the regular men, the women, the children, they all approached the king. V'kalsu, they praised the king. They tried to appease him. V'hitzir lahem hakol. And finally the king said, okay, you know what? I am willing to relinquish, to forego the entire tax, the final third. Amar lahon malka, but then the king said, listen, but from here on in, we're playing for keeps. Meaning, I was willing to cancel the tax that was due until to date. But ma da'azal azal min hacha nacha chushbana. But starting today, we have a new counting. And you're not going to get out of the taxes starting basically tomorrow. So too, says the Midrash, Erev Rosh Hashanah, the big doylem of the town, they fast. So Hashem says, okay, I'll relinquish a third of the sins. And then, you know, what happens Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur? All these individuals start fasting. And Hashem says, okay, another third can be forgone, forgiven. And then, on Yom Kippur, everybody fasts. Women, children, whatever. And Hashem says, okay, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. And then the Midrash goes on to famously say how Hashem does not really start calculating our sins until Sukkot. However, I wanted to use this Midrash as a springboard to point out that what starts this Friday, Erev Rosh Hashanah, was the major date in that Midrash, that on Erev Rosh Hashanah, the Gedolei Hador go fast, and Hashem starts to kind of delete, forgive some of our sins. So too, this coming Friday is a rather significant date. And again, on a practical level, I'm not saying to fast. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Willig does not fast, and Rav Shechter only fasts until Chatzos, and that's a very widespread custom to only fast half a day if you fast at all this coming Friday. Be that as it may, this coming Erev Shabbos is a big day. And Chazal have already labeled Erev Rosh Hashanah as a day where Hashem is very much present and is looking closely to see who is stepping up. And the Me'iri actually mentions this concept of Slichos and Erev Rosh Hashanah. And the Me'iri says, oh, Nisan, welcome. And again, Stuart, I emailed you the Makoros if you're interested. Nisan, I did not email you the Makoros. All right, let me try this again. Here we go. Email this file. Let me see if it pops up already. Nisan, no, I don't know why. Nisan, what's your email address again? Nisan?
Nisan.holzer.
I think it will save if I send you a normal email. All right, so let's save it. Okay, here we go. Shkach, welcome everybody. So the Me'iri as well, there's Chibur HaTshuva. He says that it's Ro'oi, it is fit l'chol yishtadal kodem Rosh Hashanah behefzer tzilos uve'eres tshuvos k'dei she'ikaris v'Rosh Hashanah b'tahar asalev. It's incumbent, it is rather fitting for everyone to try, even before Rosh Hashanah, to try to daven intensely, to do tshuva, And then the Miri writes, "Umizeh nahagu b'makomos lakum belailos." Ah, the Miri says, the idea was to wake up in the night. Interestingly, the way the Meiri presents the minhag of Slichos is not like the Sfaradim from Rosh Chodesh Elul every day, and not like the Ashkenazi minhag, but rather he says every Monday and Thursday of Elul. So very nice where the Meiri says this minhag to wake up at night to say Slichos, and the Rambam also mentions this concept famously, but the Rav, again, as recorded in the Bata Yosef, is going to point out that if you look at the Meiri and the Rambam, this is the first major point of the shir. We're going to string a lot of Makoros together to this Yisod, whereby the Meiri and the Rambam are going to emphasize the need to wake up at night. If you look closer at the Meiri, it was underlined, "Umizenagu b'makomos lakum balailos," right? Meaning, he doesn't just say stam, there's a minhag to say slichos, the minhag was to wake up and say slichos. And famously, the Rambam Hilchos Teshuvah Gimel Dalet says that the shofar, in addition to being a biblical commandment, alludes to the concept of uru u yishenu mishinaschem, right? Wake up from your sleep. And again, the Rambam, as famous as it is, needs to be analyzed every single word. V'kitzu nirdami mitardameschem. So again, different forms of sleep. And then again, search your actions, do tshuva, remember your creator. And the Rambam says this is referring to people who totally forget about what life is all about, and they waste their time, and they just do nothing all day. The shofar is supposed to kind of zap them out of that lifestyle and encourage them, inspire them to do tshuva. And at the end of that, Allah Chadar Rambam says, and that's why we have a minhag to do a lot of tzedakah of ma'asim tovim, starting with Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, v'nagu kulam lakum ba'layla ba'aser shememelu. So that's when the minhag became to wake up in the night. But as we can already see, it's much more than just a one-time waking up in the night. It's a figurative message as well. That in the same way that in the physical sense, we're waking up from our bed, says the Rambam, in the spiritual sense as well, you better be waking up a little bit. There are things that you need to search and stop. In the same way that you need to stop sleeping and physically get out of bed. So says the Rambam, spiritually also, everyone has their own version of internal sleep that needs to come to an end this time of year. But in the beautiful Sefer Bata Yosef that was really published rather recently, the new like formal hardcover edition, so they point out that the Rav was pretty clear about the fact that the primary time to say Slichos is Balayla. Tehainu, that means Sheyesh Lakum La'achar Chatzos Alayla Kodim Sheyer Hayom. So if you had to prioritize the timing of Slichos, so the Rav would say there's no question that the ideal time is when? Between Chatzos, before dawn. And then the beautiful Sefer goes on to say that even when the Rav was too old to pull that off himself, and he would actually go to the earlier Slichos, in the earlier part of the night, let's say the equivalent of, let's say, the 10 p.m. Slichos or whatever, the Rav would go and then also tell people, I'm only going because I'm old and I can't make it up later in the evening. Don't do this. Meaning the Rav was not shy about the fact that it was b'diavad. He was just very, very transparent. And he said, I'm only doing this because I need to. It's a reality of my stage of life. Be that as it may, again, it's very clear, says the Rav from the Rambam, from the Meiri, that the concept of Slichos is about waking up in the middle of the night. And it doesn't end there. The idea is that we're going to learn that the whole concept of the Yamim Noraim is going to be one of fighting our nature. And there's a unique Avodas Hashem that takes place specifically in the nighttime. And by definition, if you're up during the night, what you're doing is fighting. It's not as much a mitzvah as much as it's a fight. And the Rambam, Hilchos Teshuvah, Perek Beis Halacha Vav, says that certainly tshuva is always wonderful and tzedakah is always wonderful. But in the Seder Mei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, etc., it's even more wonderful. Yafa b'yoser. Because we know the Gemara Darshan's Dir Shambi Matso, Kurub Biyoso, Karov, you should specifically seek out God when he's close, call to him when he's particularly close and accessible. This is the Seder Mei Tshuva. Here we are. But the idea was, the Rambam used the word Tshuva V'Hatza'aka. Tshuva V'Hatza'aka. And the Sefer Bata Yosef quotes from the Rav that the davening in the Seder Mei Tshuva is not the normal type of tefillah. Says the Sefer, it's not in the Mar Mekomos yet, hey Rabbeinu, debarish a tefillah ze'enu begeder tefillah regila. This is not called regular prayer that emerges from the pasuk of the b'cholav avchem. Rather, this is emerges from the pasuk of v'chita v'o milchama ba'artzichem ahatzar hatzare itchem eschem. Ki tefillah zu tefillah miyuchedes shel tze'aka be'es tzara. The davening we do, starting this Shabbos, and really kind of Erev Shabbos really with that intensity of the Slichos, is not a tefillah, but rather a tze'aka. It's a tefillah shel tze'aka that reminds of Hilchos Tainus. And the Rav actually goes to specify many differences between regular prayer and tefillah that is a tefillah of tze'aka. And one of the ones that really spoke to me was that normally tefillah is a kiyum belev. You have to have kavana. In contrast, tefillah shel tze'aka is bepeh. It's just like screaming out loud. You know, you have like a Tehillim rally. So it's not as much about like the kavana as much as it's like you're making noise. You know, there's like an urgency and like everyone's called to go to the kotel. So this tze'aka, the idea is to scream out. It's a different type of prayer. We're not trying to like think about the words of Tehillim as much as we're kind of just screaming. And the noise itself is the goal. It's an amazing idea. And guess what the Rambam, the Rav also says. Usually, the main time of prayer is daytime. But Tefillah Shel Tze'aka, argues the Rav, is more reserved for the nighttime. It's more reserved for the nighttime. Whoa. Such much to say. Aleph. He says, Tefillah Regilah Zmana Gam Bayom V'Gam Balayla. Regular davening can be said whether it's day or night. Both. Tefillah Shel Tze'aka, but in contrast, this different type of prayer where it's an urgency. It's a war. Ikar Zmana Balayla. Wow. Ikar Zmana Balayla. It's an amazing idea. That when you're trying to not daven, but you're trying to access this unique style of prayer, it's a crying out, it's an urgent screaming to Hashem, that's a nighttime thing. Wow. So to me, what the halacha is screaming out is that it's not the time to sleep. It's not the time to sleep. It's a time to push to the max a little bit. It's a time to be in touch with that internal struggle of, on one hand, we really need to be in bed right now. We want to be in bed. But there's something that's too urgent right now. In the same way that if, Lamashal, your wife goes into labor, you can't roll over. Now, Baruch Hashem, I've been in this situation before. I'm not going to say all the details, but I think I had just recited the Bracha of Hamapil. And then my wife said, I think it's time. And I'm like, I can't. It's a Bracha of Atala. I got to get a half hour of sleep. Like, we'll speak later. You know, obviously, Baruch Hashem, we made it to the hospital. But I did like ask her, like, are you sure? Like, all right, come on. I got my sleep later in the hospital. Baruch Hashem, there was no hefsek. I did everything I needed to do, and then I slept in the Englewood Hospital couch. But I woke up. I davened shachris also before Israel was born. Good times, Baruch Hashem. Anyway, the idea being though, like, you know, sometimes you want to be in bed, but there's an urgent matter. So like, I wanted to go to bed, you know, but there was a matter at hand. I needed to get out of bed, and Baruch Hashem, I did. So it should be noted there are halachos. In Shulchan Aruch, it's literally presented as the very first halacha on the books in Yamim Noraim. Tov Kuf Pe Aleph Aleph says Shulchan Aruch Nohagim Lakum. The minig is to get up. Bashmores Lomar Shlichos. That's it. Meaning, what is the very first halacha of Shulchan Aruch regarding this time of year? Get up. Bashmores. Again, happens to be in the very unique hour of the day before dawn. To say slichos, etc. And Rav Levinsal and his beautiful sefer, Yerushalayim B'Mo'adeh, was asked, what if I wake up for slichos and I'm not going to get enough sleep and I'm going to be very tired, and next day in yeshiva I'm going to not learn as effectively. I'm not going to have as much kavana in my tefillah, and I'm going to be maybe a little grumpy, maybe a little bit, you know, we'll say irritable. Says Rav Levinsal, mikol makom yomar haslichot. It's like, so You know, it's like you go to Slichos anyway. That should be noted parenthetically. The next Shaila says that if you go to Slichos, but you're not going to do your job as effectively, that comes into real, you know, Choshen Mishpat Shailas. Like, it's Mefurash Ramah that if a Rebbe stays up at night late learning and is not going to be as effective of a Rebbe as a teacher the next day, it's Usr. You know, you have to be prepared to do your job the next day. You can't do your job. And effectively, we gave a shir once upon a time along the lines of like coffee breaks and halacha, something like that. But for now, we're going to focus on this concept of it's okay to be tired. You're supposed to be tired. And remember, I was in Shalavim, and I had never experienced Slichos like this before. It was Shana Aleph. They say Slichos in Shalavim, I think, at Chatzos every night, if I'm not mistaken. At least when I was there, I don't remember. Maybe they said it early in the morning. It was early. I was not getting enough sleep. No question about that. And then I had to say, learn all morning. I had a full hour morning Seder, 9 to 12. And I remember opening the Sefer Nesiva Shalom. I needed some chassidus. It was, you know, right before morning Seder. And then the Nesiva Shalom says, Ani lidodi vidodi li. Ani lidodi. You need to give all of your ani lidodi. Like in this season, you, ani, like the full I is dedicated to my beloved. And I'm like, all right, let's do this. Let's do this. Yeah, Robert.
So I understand. About a struggle. If you do it in the morning, you're waking up earlier than you used to, and that feels
like a bit of a struggle as well. Not
the ideal.
Totally. This does not only apply. We're gonna totally come back full circle to that. Everyone knows their own cheshbonos, and even if you're not staying up late or waking up at 12:45 a.m. or whatever, if you're waking up a little bit earlier, you're still putting in extra hours. And by the way, I'll tell you a secret. I don't wake up a second earlier. During Slichos, TABC Shachas normally starts at 8 a.m. During Slichos, Slichos begin at 8 a.m. Yeah, I'm the biggest crook here. No. Don't worry, Robert. But we'll talk about everyone's personal situation. Again, but the point is very, very well taken, of course. Any extra level of Mesiras Nefesh is included in this category.
So they actually learn less during Slichos.
To learn less, yeah, right, meaning...
They're learning less, because they're davening the same Slichos, so they're learning less during the day.
Well, no, in TABC, they had modified the schedule completely. They don't really learn less. It's like every period is like 2 minutes shorter. They have a whole mahalach, and maybe it's like 2 minutes shorter. But they don't, like, cancel shiur or anything like that. Like, the period still... Every period still meets. Anyway, so the Shulchan Aruch says the following in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah Tavkuf Pei Gimel, and we're just trying to use this yisod across the Yom Norim season now. The Ramah says there's a minog not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. And the Ramah says, minog nachon hu. So the Mishnah Berurah says, there's a Gemara Yushalmi, which states that man the damich bereish shasa, one who goes to sleep in the beginning of the year, namely on Rosh Hashanah, damich mazli. His mazel and his fortune will also be a little sleepy that year. Namely, there's a derogatory comment by Chazal if you sleep on Rosh Hashanah. But the Arizal already, the Arizal in the Mishnah Berurah is recorded to say that after Chatzos already... in the afternoon, which essentially means already by the time you come home from shul, you can go to sleep because the major issue is in the morning. That's really where the scary stuff are happening.
Straight, so unless you dive into the seeking menu, or 7 o'clock, maybe, and you'll be sleeping, I don't know, until like 8 o'clock, and then you
can show up at shul at 8:30. We're going to learn about that right now. Excellent. So again, the Ramah, very good, Stuart. Your mom and Chanel down on the head, as always. Oh, we'll learn about it. No. Again, we're gonna play both European and American this evening. We're gonna straddle both sides of the fence. But the Bach said that the Maharam Mirudenberg would sleep on Rosh Hashanah, which is amazing. So again, you already have the heads of the Arizal in the afternoon, and the Maharam Mirudenberg took a nap. And the key line of the Mishnah Berurah is V'yoshev Bato Ki Yashen Dami. If you're so exhausted that you can't really accomplish anything anyway, there's no good in that anyway. Meaning, if you're just sitting like a zombie, that's as if you're sleeping anyway. So the Chayi Adam writes, listen, after you eat, try to learn a little bit, but if you can't, if your head is heavy upon you, take a little nap. If you need to, say Tehillim, whatever, take it easy if you need to. So the Kaf HaChayim has the Chumrah that Stuart mentioned. He said, wait a minute. If you're not supposed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah, that means you should get up at dawn, right? Meaning, Yiskaber Ka'ariv, Yakum Yimesa, and don't go back to sleep. Oh my gosh, that's pretty amazing. Right? Meaning you should wake up before the day begins. That's the Kaf HaChaim. The Halicha Shlomo says, that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that even though there's a Gemara Yerushalmi, the minhag is not to wake up at dawn, or before dawn, or before, no. We don't have such a minhag to wake up before sunrise even on Rosh Hashanah. And in the footnote there, it's explained to mean that once you're already sleeping, your sleeping is considered to be night. Meaning if you went to bed at night and you continue sleeping 7 a.m., 7:30, whatever, so that sleep is halachically categorized as going after the nighttime. Obviously you have to make Zman Kriyat Shema, all right. The idea is that you shouldn't go to sleep during the daytime. But and as you can imagine, Rav Shlomo Zalman himself, again, previous generation, pretty intense fellow, but again, also knew who to spoke to kind of people, like a practical-minded posek. And he also, like the Chayadim, right, if you need a nap on Rosh Hashanah, take it. You know, he wasn't saying to be overly intense. However, I do want to come back to that kind of flavor of Europe, the Mata Ephraim. So one of the famous Svarim, often quoted in the Shavura in the Yamin Urim season, he writes, Tavkuf Pedal Al, the Minog, is that the Shamish Beis HaKnesses, Kore Be'od HaLayla, Kamo Sha'a Kodem Alos HaShachar. So you'd have Yanush, or whoever, you know, ran the shul, the vaker, right, the waker, he would go around the town an hour before dawn to get everybody up. Get to shul! V'yesh L'zar Yizgam HaYeladim, Mei She'Gia L'chinuch, She'yashkimu Gam Kane. Wow. Unbelievable. It is that everyone should get up. Everyone. So again, from the Kaf HaChaim, from the Matzah Ephraim, and already in the Shulchan Aruch, you get this like really intense zone, this intense vibe, like, get out of bed, it's Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom HaDin, what are you doing? Practically, it doesn't need to be like that. Our main minyan begins at 8:30. You want to wake up at 8, have a cup of coffee before davening. It's totally lechatchila, lehalacha. That being said, there's what to say about feeling the sense of urgency, and if hypothetically, you know, you felt there was any day of the year to come to the 7 a.m. minyan, you know, there's what to say, dafka, just for the sake of coming early. That alone is enough of a reason to dive into the early minyan, even if, the minyan's smaller, etc. But there's an urgency here. Like, I can't be in bed right now. Wow. Okay. So what we lain on the second day of Rosh Hashanah about Avram Avinu, the Shulchan Aruch records, B'yom Sheini Mispalalim, Kamo B'yom Rishon, the Korim Miva Elokim, he says, Avram Atsof Sidr. So that is another way of saying that we read about Akedas Yitzchak on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. And we know the idea is, Vayashkem Avram Baboker. Avram woke up early in the morning, Vayachavosh Eschamoro. He saddled his donkey, took the Shtein Arvito. Again, he was preparing for Akedas Yitzchak. He took the wood, and etc. The Gemara Pesachim Dalet Amud Aleph says, Vitanya. We learn that a brisa kol yom kulo kosher lemila, really technically speaking, a circumcision can be performed all day. Ella, but in contrast to the technical letter of the law, shezrizin maktim lemitzvah shenemar vayashkim Avram baboker. The very midah of being excited to do mitzvahs and doing them at the earliest possible opportunity is learned out from Avraham Avinu. And perhaps, as I've been saying this evening, no coincidence that besides for all of the wonderful things to learn about Yitzchak Avinu and the shofar, Ayel Shal Yitzchak and Akedas Yitzchak, and that's really the reason we lay in this story on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. But in addition to that reason, perhaps you can also argue that Avram himself, Vayashkem Avram Babokir, he got up really, really early in the morning to do this. And just like Avram did it, we should also do it. Now Rashi in Pesachim over there wants to say there's a concept of Zrizus, and you should wake up like Avram, Shalo Himtin Ad Hanetzacham. He did not wait till sunrise. So you get that same vibe, like from the Mata Ephraim, where you had the waker, you know, before the sun was even up, people were getting out of bed. So too, Avram did not wait for sunrise. But says Rashi and Pesachim, umikom akum balayla lo hiktim. He didn't get up at night. I mean, seemingly he got up at dawn. In fact, there's a wonderful piece in the Netziv's Harchev Davar, never explaining what time was it, you know, not for now. But I also just wanted to draw from, you know, the Parsha, we usually do halacha from the Parsha. There's no Parsha, technically, this Shabbos, but at least in the second day of Rosh Hashanah, we'll be learning and gleaning lessons from Avram Avinu's Zrizus, and certainly we should learn from that and learn from him to get up early, excited out of bed. And even if you were dominating at the 8:30 minyan, how appropriate it would be to wake up a little earlier, to learn a little bit, Mishnayos, whatever it is, before davening, even if you're davening at a later minyan. Okay, so this is Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't stop at Rosh Hashanah. We know Rosh Hashanah is just the beginning of the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. The Shulchan Aruch records the minhag to say Kaparos Aner of Yom Kippur. We know, and even though the Shulchan Aruch says Yeshlim Noam HaMinhag, don't do the minhag, it resembles like witchcraft, Darkei Amori, whatever. The Ramah says, no, we do it. It's a Geshmak Minhag, Kihu Minhag, Vasikin, and the practices nowadays, we do Kaparos, and Rav Willig is recorded in the Sefer, as that we do it with money. You go to Lubavitch down the street, they're still doing it with chickens, it's Geshmak. But ultimately, we know about Kaparos, but believe it or not, the Shla is recorded in the Mishnah Berurah as saying, guess what? When's it best to do Kaparos? The Tov, the Shachto, when you shech this chicken, do it ba'ashmores achar haslichos, early in the morning. Early. Right after you finish Shlichos. Why? Because that's an opportune time. In Shemaim, ki'az harachem im govrim. There's a concept that you want to tap into the time of day where Hashem is more accessible, etc. And therefore, the truth is, there's a concept of Kaparos, but on a deeper level, Kaparos itself also speaks to this concept of waking up early. And guess what Rav Soloveitchik writes about? Literally, a memoir of Europe. Before Hashem, you shall be purified. Dr. Lustiger's amazing sefer from the Rav. Says Rav Soloveitchik, I remember how difficult it was to go to sleep on Erev Yom Kippur. The shochet used to come at the break of dawn to provide chickens for the Kaparos ritual. And later the people would give charity. The wallets of Jews were open twice a year, Erev Yom Kippur and Purim, but especially on Erev Yom Kippur. And this is almost like where we have to shift a little bit. The Rav was almost too excited to go to bed. And that's an amazing tone to set. There's one thing to be afraid to be in bed, like, oh my gosh, I need to show up to court on time. I have a court date on Rosh Hashanah. And there's another thing to say, I'm Avram Avinu, I'm really excited to wake up for Hashem. And like Rav Soloveitchik said, I remember how difficult it was to go to sleep. You know what I remember it was difficult to go to sleep? It was the night before I went to vacation. We were going to Miami Beach the next morning. And I shared a room with my brother Rafi, the great Rabbi Rafi Mandelstam. We could not go to bed. We were so excited because we knew that at Ashmoros HaBoker, the taxi would arrive and we'd get to go to the airport to Miami Beach. We could not fall asleep the night before. That's one level of, you know, the spiritual the spiritual journey. The there's time for a different year. But ultimately, you know, when I read a sefer, the great Rabbi Rami Milis, I remember we could not fall asleep the night before winter break. You know, anyway, well, another time for another story. Another time for this story. Remind me one time to tell you the story about how our taxi driver got arrested on the way to the airport for having a suspended license. That was crazy. That was crazy. Anyway, let's go on. All right. So we know that Kaparos take up early. The Rav literally remembered the shochet coming at dawn, wild. But the Kohen Gadol himself on Yom Kippur, what was he not allowed to do Yom Kippur night? He was not asleep.
All right,
Litvax. The idea is the Mishnah in Yuma, it's recorded in the Testament of Bayes, that if the Kohen Gadol wanted to fall asleep, the Pirkei Kahuna would hit him, or they'd put him on the cold floor of the base of Migdash, whatever, they'd keep him up in different ways. But the Gemara says that it wasn't only Kohen Gadol, the Yakire Yerushalayim, Lo Hayu Yishenim Kol HaLayla, right? The special people of Yerushalayim, would also not go to bed on Yom Kippur night. And that's what I was alluding to. The Kohen Gadol didn't go to sleep on Yom Kippur night for technical reasons, not to have a seminal emission. But the Yakir Yerushalayim, they did it. You know why? Because they didn't want Yerushalayim to be too quiet. They wanted the Kohen Gadol to feel some of the energy of the town. So it would be easier for him to stay awake all night. And Tanya Abishal Omer, Af Bigvulin, even outside of Yerushalayim, in whatever. Other parts of Eretz Yisrael, how you osikin zecher lemikdash. Wow, what's the thing that was some minhag recorded in the Gemara over here? People would stay up all night Yom Kippur night. I don't think anyone does that nowadays. But in order to reenact the experience of the Kohen Gadol, they would stay up all night on Yom Kippur. So there it is again, again and again. The halacha is banging here that like, not every night is meant to be in bed. And you know what the Mishnah Berurah records? At the very end of Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, in Taf Resh Chaf Dal, it's a Kotan Yudalid, the Mishnah Berurah records that after Yom Kippur, the minhag is to wake up to go to shul the next morning. In order not to look Chas V'Shem that we were just kind of playing, we were faking it. Ne'ilah, we take God seriously. The next morning, and the Aruch HaShulchan says the same minug. The minug is Lis Pal Shach, Yom Kippur, Mukdam. Start a little bit earlier. Do we do that in Shul? I don't know how many shuls actually do that. I think on the wire based measures, if I'm not mistaken, Shacharis was normally at 7:40, and the day after Yom Kippur started at 7:35. If I'm not mistaken, and Broyers, yeah. So it's a legit minug to start a little early. TBC, we did that also. Sometimes they wanted to have a late opening because practically kids are so exhausted. But we always have like an early program, like a Mishnayos, like a Cocoa Club. Like in order not to totally do away with this minug, we have some early morning programming the morning after Yom Kippur, you know, come to school, you know, etc. So it's an amazing, amazing idea. And guess what the Shibbolei Aleket says? One of the early Rishonim, 1200s, born in Rome, and, you know, he does work in Italy in his life. But again, he left Rome also to learn in Germany. But the Shibbolei Aleket, he brings down the minug of staying up all night on Leil Hoshana Rabbah. There we are again. So again, it's not just like a contemporary Hasidish thing. He says the Yom HaRavah was the Chasim HaSadim. We know that Sukkot is known to be a time where God judges us for water. So clearly the Yom HaDin is not completely over. And he says it's a minhag kosher to stay up all night. He says people would stay up all night and they would learn. If they did not complete the Torah reading cycle of Shnai Mikra, they would complete all of Sefer Dvarim on the night of Yom HaRavah, of Leil Hoshana Rabbah. And there it is again. It's almost like the final deadline. And you see the halacha is calling out with this urgency. Like, how could you go to bed? This is like the last chance. But like, even if Hashem did not give you the proper judgment on Yom Kippur, how much rain are we going to receive this year? Almost like, how could you go to bed? How could you go to bed? And there are two very different ways of staying up all night. Way number one is I'm too scared to go to bed. But way number two is I'm too excited to go to bed. And that seemingly is the ultimate message to learn from the Yamim Noraim, that I either feel the sense of urgency or I feel the excitement to go to bed. And you know, how many Jews were at the Jets game this past, what was it, Monday night? It ended very, very late. I think there was a slichos in the parking lot. You heard about this? Right. It went into overtime. Let's just say we can stay up late for a lot of things when we're excited, right? And what's the very first halacha in Shulchan Aruch? Very first halacha in Shulchan Aruch? Yitgaber ka'ari la'amod b'boker, wake up like a lion. And we know there's so many excuses. The Yetzer Hara says stay in bed, it's still dark outside, or you have plenty of time. The very first halacha is be excited to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. Be excited. And Bezas Hashem, we should prove to ourselves how capable we are. If on Erev Rosh Hashanah we could push to the max, and maybe Leil Rosh Hashanah, Leil Hoshana Rabbah, whatever it is, in the Ilah. All right, so obviously we can't do that all year. But you know what? Maybe it reminds us a little bit of how much we could push, maybe a little bit more. And the Rambam said, the shofar reminds us to wake up and do some introspection of how much time are we wasting. And again, we're not just talking about hours of sleep. Sleep is very important. You need your sleep. But when you're awake, at least, how many hours of day are we, quote-unquote, sleeping on our phones? Are we looking at pointless videos? Or is WhatsApp taking over our hours of day? There are many ways to wake up when we're already out of bed. We should all be zoche to maximize every moment of the Yamim Noraim season, which will inspire us to maximize every moment of the upcoming year.